This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Start with lead, and we'd like to welcome in Chris Canty, who must be in just like a million-dollar mood. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Hope you guys are doing great. I'm doing awesome. Can I just say this? I know we're about to talk about the Yankees game, but how awesome was last night just as a sports night?
It was a lot, though. It was a little overwhelming.
It was a lot, but that's why you got to have the screens going. Like, I had the Yankees game going. Obviously, the sound is on that. But then I had the Patriots-Chiefs game, and then I also had the Packers-Falcons game. It was a great sports night. It was a great sports night. I mean, I wish that the Patriots had Cam Newton because the outcome of that game could have been different. You're talking about a three-point game in the beginning of the fourth quarter. I thought that was a really interesting game plan that Belichick came up with because he did a lot of things that we haven't seen other people do in terms of trying to defend that Chiefs offense. But last night was just an awesome sports night. And then to cap it all off, around 11:45, Giancarlo Stanton hits a grand slam in the ninth inning. It was just awesome, Dave.
Let's let him bubbling with excitement, Rick.
It's so late, though. Just so late. I mean, luckily for me, I banked up all the sleep, but there's just too much going on. Too many games. It's time. God, Zach Britton was just painful to watch, too. Just taking so long. Snell taking so long. I told you yesterday, though, Dave, this is – I don't know if you can throw the 60 games out the window, but this is a completely different New York game.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they have – if there's such a thing as turning it on, Chris, they have turned it on. They look like a well-oiled machine 3 games into the postseason.
No, they look phenomenal. But, I mean, I thought last night was how you would script it if you're the Yankees. Like, if you're Brian Cashman, this is how you built this team. I mean, you're going to get a quality start from your ace. Garrett Cole gives you 6 innings. A 3-run ball. He goes through the heart of the Rays order 3 times. So, I mean, that was good. You saw Chad Green and Zach Britton come in. They did their jobs. No hits, no runs allowed. And then everybody in the lineup hit. I mean, you had 15 hits last night and 5 walks. I mean, that's how you script it. You created traffic. You were able to come up with big hits in big spots. And then when you needed the insurance runs in the ninth inning, Aaron Hicks delivered with an RBI single, and then Stanton hit the grand slam. So, I mean, that's exactly what you wanted to see if you're a Yankees fan. I mean, I know that the Rays were going to be a different animal than the Indians, but, I mean, we're talking about 3 postseason games, and we're talking about this team hitting a lot of home runs, and that was the one thing that they couldn't come up with in the postseasons prior. They just couldn't get big hits in big spots, and they couldn't hit home runs, and we're seeing them do both now. So maybe this team is turning a corner. We always talk about how it takes – a certain amount of failure in the playoffs before you're able to break through. Maybe this is the year that the Yankees are actually going to break through and get to the World Series.
I don't know about you guys. And Cole pitched. I mean, he wasn't dominant. I mean, he got the job done. I mean, he did exactly what you needed him to do.
He was
I thought he was good.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially in that Margot at bat. Like, listen, you suck it up. You put Choi on. You load the bases. Oof. You attack Margot.
That was some heat. He was completely overwhelmed, bro.
Yeah, but if you would have asked Garrett Cole before the game, 6 innings, 3 runs, he would not have said, yeah, give me that.
You were throwing out 7 innings, 1 run yesterday.
Well, listen, the thought is he's one of the top 2 or 3 pitchers in baseball. That's the expectation for those stars, isn't it?
That's the expectation. It's not real. I mean, it's probably unrealistic. I mean, you're going up against the good lineup.
That's what I'm about to say.
And Choi, I mean, he just, I don't know what it is. But
he owns Garrett Cole.
Owns Garrett Cole.
Oh, my God. He owns him.
And I will say this. I know Stanton had the big grand slam and everything else. Unsung hero in that game last night was Higgy.
He was great defensively. Great, brilliant defensively.
Both catchers. Zunino was great, too, for Tampa.
Yes. But Higashioka was great defensively. And obviously, you could argue he had the biggest hit of the game. I mean, 3-2, fifth inning, he unloads home run. Then Judge hits the home run, and then all of a sudden the Yankees have a lead after.
And he got you going
in
the ninth.
Minutes.
And he let off the ninth.
Yep.
With a single.
Yep. He was great. And that ninth inning was. There's so many different ways to attack this game to analyze it, but that ninth inning was huge. And Rick, I know that you and I are going to be exactly the same on this. Why was that ninth inning so big?
Because you didn't have to worry about Chapman.
Exactly. Huge guys. Curtis wouldn't have been in that game.
No.
There's zero chance that Curtis would have been facing Stanton in that spot, except for the fact that they just don't want to continue to burn pitchers knowing that you're going to have a game every single day.
Curtis last night was the first casualty of the no days off.
Yes.
He had to eat that one last night. He got a little feisty, too, throwing up and in, by the way.
Well, once the game was over.
I love the fact that Gleyber Torres stole second base in the ninth. Love it. Love it. Rub their noses in it.
I'll tell you, they would like do the same Pedro. Thing. Pedro Martinez after the game. That's so disrespectful. There's unwritten rules. We didn't have to go up and in on Urshela in Glaber. I mean, clearly that was intent. I mean, that was intentional.
Yes.
Oh, of course it was.
That pitch to Urshela was intentional.
But I thought Kevin Cash doesn't coach that. I thought he doesn't manage that way.
Well, that's not who they are.
Call people out.
Stop it.
I love that there's this disdain for
I love it.
For these
love
two teams.
It.
They can't stand each other. I see the Yankees are up 9-3. They're on the top step, you know, imploring for more. It's great.
That's exactly what you wanted. This is exactly what you wanted, and this was huge for a couple reasons. I mean, obviously, you know, game one in a 5-game series is huge. But on top of that, when you're playing a team that's owned you the entire season and you got your guy on the mound, this is a game you needed to win. Okay, I mean, this is to get your swagger back.
Yes. You need to,
all of a sudden,
listen, if you would have lost this game, you would have been panicked going into this game tonight. Panicked.
Plus, what do you think? How do you feel if you're in Tampa? If you've owned the Yankees the entire season. And then
you're putting all the pressure on them. All the pressure is on Tampa right now. All of it.
And then you beat up on Gerrit Cole? I mean, that just, I mean, now there's no way you feel like the Yankees can beat you if you beat up on Gerrit Cole.
Right.
And the Yankees did the right thing of putting Davey Garcia in tonight. I love it.
You think?
No, I love it.
Why?
Because you're going to have to use him. Well, he's going to have to start a game, right? It's a 5-game
right.
series. You figure at some point you're going to have to use him. There's no, I mean, there's pressure because it's the postseason. But
game 3 is a bigger game than game 2.
Exactly. 1-3
I agree with you. Yeah.
And Tampa's never seen
now.
Him. And Tampa's never seen him before. So you have that advantage. You're going to use him. This is the best spot, in my opinion, to use him.
Yeah. I'd rather put him in this spot rather than putting him in game 3, and God forbid the Rays end up getting to Tanaka and beating them up in game 2. Now you're talking about a young guy being in a pivotal game in a 5-game set. I don't like that.
It's less pressure.
It's still the postseason game, so it's pressure, but I feel like the pressure is dialed back a little bit in game 2, just knowing how you came off of the game 1 win with Gerrit Cole pitching.
Now, how good was Urshela last night, too? Oh, my God, defensively.
Oh, he's awesome.
Jumping plays and diving plays and from his butt. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, he is
unbelievable play.
He solidified himself as the third base. He made two good plays there too. He made the first leaping one and then he made the diving one.
Margot,
he makes
everything
look so easy.
He's got some speed because that was a close play.
Yeah, Urshela is now entrenched as the official third baseman of the New York Yankees.
Yep, and Frazier with that bomb. I mean,
You play
Gardner in the first series, he's great. Then you put Frazier in, he unloads on a home run, a high pitch, too, that he got around on. I mean, it's just like everything that they're pressing, every button they're pressing is working so far.
Yeah, you put Frazier in, he hits the home run. You got production from him and Higashioka at the bottom of the order. And then even when you put Gardner in, you got production. I mean, Tyler Wade draws a walk. I mean, every single button that Aaron Boone is pressing right at the moment has been the right one.
Yeah, so far, it is perfect. All right, let's take a listen to some of what the Yankees had to say. And let's get your calls on game one of the ALDS, 800-919-3776. Gerrit Cole, after the game, here he is evaluating his game one start. Gerrit Cole.
Understated. Yeah, he's understated.
Yeah, he's very quiet.
it's very quiet, very
understated.
Taking care of business.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very workmanlike. But let's see if he if he wants to talk now. Gerrit Cole, after game one, evaluating his start.
A bit of a grind. Some really good pitches. Some poor pitches. Some excellent defense. Some good catching. Some great offense. We were able to stop them when it really counted. I was unfortunate to go with the lead twice, but it's a good team game.
You gave up the lead twice, but the fact that the second that G-Man Choi hits that two-run homer to take the lead, that half inning, you have the two solo home runs to take back the lead was huge. It was huge.
Huge. Huge. Led by a guy that you expect very little from, in Higashioka. I mean, Judge is the guy. But for Higashioka, and he crushed that ball. To do that, he was great last night.
He was awesome last night.
If you would have gotten that from Sanchez, people would have been screaming, he's got to, you know, he's amazing. This is what we expected. That's what Higashioka was for you last night.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, let's all call it what it is. If that's Gary Sanchez, and you know I like Gary Sanchez. I think he's super talented. But if that's Gary Sanchez behind the plate, that cross-up that Higashioka somehow was able to catch on Margot, that's a run.
100%.
And that ending could, who knows how that ending turns out? You have no idea how that inning turns out.
He was great defensively. He was great offensively. He was sensational last night. If you're getting production like that from Higashioka in the 9 spot, This is the best lineup you've ever seen in your life.
There's no break in the order.
No.
But they were talking about it last night. Like, there's no sigh of relief. Like, even when you get to the 7-8-9 hitters, like, those guys can find ways to be productive. But again, this is what Brian Cashman envisioned. Like, everybody in this lineup is capable of hitting. But the fact that everybody's hitting at the same time, like, that's when you start talking about this thing being a well-oiled machine, all of them clicking on all cylinders. Like, this is the time where you want to be playing your best baseball. And quite frankly, that's exactly what it looks like for the Yankees in this three-game sample size in the postseason. They are playing their best baseball of the season right now.
Right now. Yep.
And Gerrit Cole went out there and set the tone, gave you a quality start. I know it's not seven innings of one-run ball like you said yesterday, Dave, but, I mean, that was plenty good enough for a really good Tampa Bay Rays lineup.
Yeah, he made a couple mistakes. But that seems to be what happens to Gerrit Cole, is that he's so confident in his stuff that when he does, I mean, he's attacking you like he's in the strike zone, that, you know, if he does throw a fastball over the middle of the plate, that you can make him pay for it. But, I mean, when he gets aggravated and he starts ramping it up, and he's got 99 and 100 riding up in the zone, you can't hit it. You saw how fired up he was. Like, he knew that how important that moment was.
Well, it was. I mean, base hit for Margot there, and you're in serious trouble.
And you needed to take him out. I saw a bunch of people saying that he should come off for the seventh. I mean, his secondary stuff, he started to lose control of his secondary stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
His fastball was still nice. But you're going, you knew, Aaron Boone knows going into the seventh that there'll be a pinch hitter. So you end up seeing Meadows, and then it's the top of the order. You can get him out. I mean, then that's
I thought that was the right move. I thought that was the right move. You 100%. Already talk about the guys having lanes, like Chad Green, let him be your seventh inning guy. Zach Britton, let him be your eighth inning guy. And then based on the top of the ninth, you didn't have to use Chapman. But, I mean, if you were scripting it, that's how you would script it. Like, it went according to plan last night. There was no need to stretch Gerrit Cole. Because that's
I
what
actually
you got
thought Chad Green looked good,
for.
Too, last night. He did I thought that's good. The best oh, Chad Green's good. Looked in a while.
Yeah, he was good.
He did look good.
He was good. Yeah.
It worked out perfectly. I mean, the offense did what they had to do. Cole was good enough, right? The bullpen came in and did what they had to do, and then you jumped on a reliever late to extend the game. You could not have scripted it better last night if you're a fan of the Yankees.
Here's the thing, Dave, and I know you're saying Cole was good, not great, but with this lineup, if Cole goes out there and gives you a quality start in the postseason, I mean, don't you like your chances? I know I do. I'm a Yankees fan. I love my chances.
Yeah.
If my starting pitcher gives me 3-run ball into the seventh inning, I feel good about my chances of being able to win that game every single time. Every time.
Yeah.
Well, I think currently you feel that way because this offense is clicking. I mean, I think there's been times in the past where you go up against the other team's ace, your guy comes out and gives you six innings, 3 earned runs, and your offense can't do anything.
Right. I mean,
well, if this offense doesn't hit, we got no chance of competing for a championship anyway, because that's how they were built. They got to score runs.
But if Snell goes out and gives you 6 innings of 1-run ball, we're not talking about, oh, Gerrit Cole was really good last night. We're talking about Gerrit Cole was outpitched by Blake Snell.
Yeah, that's the conversation. But if Blake Snell goes out there and gives you 6 innings of 1-run ball, we're looking at the lineup and saying, what's going on with these dudes? Because they're not hitting. To me, that would be the conversation.
No, but Yankees fans would call in and say, we paid Cole all this money to not get out-dueled
by Blake, by anybody.
And they would be wrong. And they would be wrong. They would be wrong. I understand you paid Gerrit Cole $300 million. I get it. I understand it. But in a postseason game, this team has to be able to score runs. That has been the Achilles heel for the Yankees when you're going up against the better teams in baseball.
Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be the Achilles heel now.
No, it's not. I mean, but isn't that what we talked about? When you lost to the Red Sox in the DS a couple of years ago? When you lost to the Astros last year and in 17? They weren't able to come up with the big hit. That has been the biggest issue. They weren't able to consistently manufacture runs.
Yeah, but you know, Chris, and you know this. I mean, I think you're right. That would be unfair criticism of Gerrit Cole if something like that happened.
Yeah.
But
that's
the expectation, is that he should be, because of how much money you paid him, because of the success he's had, how dominant we've seen him be, is he's immune to the Yankees. He should be immune to the Yankees not hitting.
No, I got you. His perception is reality. You paid this guy all this money to be the difference in winning a championship, and I understand that. Like, people are looking at Gerrit Cole like they looked at CC Sabathia in 2009. Like, you're supposed to deliver the championship if we're going to pay you all of this money, because Brian Cashman has been resistant to going out and doing this for several years now. So this is supposed to be the move, and I get it. But again, I come back to, unless this lineup is able to be diverse in the way that they can score runs, you're going to struggle. But the fact that they're hitting home runs, the fact that they are creating traffic, getting guys on base, the fact that you're getting sac flies, and you're getting RBI base hits, like to me, that's what makes this Yankee team special, and that's what's going to make them a tough out if they can score in multiple ways. If it's just home run or strikeout, we're not going to get anywhere. I don't care how good Gerrit Cole is.
Well, it's been a lot of home runs. I mean, you got 11 home runs in the three games. I mean, 21 of your 31 runs have come via the home run. So you hit.
Well, how many did they have last night? Five?
No, they had four last night.
Four home runs last night.
But it's to Chris's point, it's having productive at bats, right? It's not having, you know, non-competitive at bats. You know, each guy's going up there with the same mindset that they're going to attack strikes in the zone. And that's the one thing. I was reading some stuff last night in Santiago. We've seen him play baseball. It's brutal. I mean, it's actually makes your eyes.
Santi's very animated today, by the way. Like Ray, you hate the Rays, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Wow, he's just dead inside right now. The Cowboys have killed him too.
What's the matter with you?
The Cowboys have killed him.
Have they? Are they taking you from the inside? What's happening here?
It's not good.
you're really dead inside from the Cowboys?
Oh my goodness!
You are too much today. that's right.
Oh my God, Almighty! The NFL has killed all of us. This is unfortunate. This is supposed to be the most exciting time of the year between the Jets, the Giants, and now the Cowboys. Everyone on the show is dead.
Who has the right to be the most upset? You,
Santiago, 100% Santiago,
because the expectations, right?
Exactly.
At least I still got the Ravens.
That's a good point.
True. Still got the Ravens.
You could fall back on them because you certainly can't be the Giants fan now.
No, the Giants and the Cowboys are
Yeah.
I don't know who feels worse. I don't know. If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd probably feel worse than if I was a Giants fan.
I think so. Listen, the Giants were expected to win, what, 4 or 5, maybe 6 games? Chris, I remember you saying, if the Cowboys don't go to the NFC Championship game, this is a failed season. Well, a quarter of the way through, I mean, NFC Championship game seems light years away.
Yeah. But because they're in a miserable division, there's still time for them to figure it out.
I still think they win the division.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They look terrible.
It's bad. It's bad right now.
I mean, They should be 0-4.
They should be. Yeah. I mean, that was a miracle in that Falcons game. Like, they should be a winless team.
I'm going to need somebody in Dallas to explain to me, too, why it still bothers me, that kick. You cut it to 3, and you kick it to they end up at the 50. What are you doing?
Yeah, I watched that again, Rico. I still can't make sense of that. Like, I still can't figure that one out.
Made no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I don't know, man. Sometimes
defensively, they're bad, though, man. Oh, I mean, you let a team ring up 300 yards rushing on you in the NFL. I mean, that's awful.
They lost Chubb in the game, too.
Yeah.
Chubb got hurt in that game.
He's going to be out for about a month with the MCL sprain.
Yeah. Eckler as well.
But it doesn't matter. If they can run the ball like that with all those guys they got.
They were putting in running backs that I'd never heard of. It's like, there's 8 yards for Johansson. You know, it's like, oh, come on. Right.
They had a guy named Dearness Johnson. Had you ever heard of him before?
No.
Dearness Johnson.
No. I'm telling you, they were like, they've taken, Kareem Hunt's out of the game. They've put in,
Dontrell Hilliard.
Yeah. Look at him. That's 11. Wasn't touched till he was 9 yards downfield. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like, I told Santiago yesterday, it was like watching Oklahoma in the 80s when Switzer was the coach. They'd go up against, like, you know, Kansas Southern, and they, 400 yards of running. They ran for 300 yards yesterday.
Dave, I don't know how they didn't tackle Odell Beckham Jr. on that reverse.
Well, that's
let
terrible.
Alone let him run 50 yards to the house.
It looked like they had no interest in tackling him on that run.
At all.
None.
At all.
All right, let's get back to the Yankees. You had a point, Rick, about the at-bats you were saying, and then we made fun of Santiago, which was fun, but go ahead.
No. I mean, you see the approach, and they faced, I mean, I don't care what you say about Cleveland. I mean, between Bieber and Carrasco, and Cleveland's got a really good bullpen. I mean, you offensively dominated that series. I was reading some of Santi's stuff last night. He's like, oh, don't let him off the hook. You know, you gotta see more pitches. The mindset isn't just take pitches. Like, you want to make the pitcher work. What they're trying to do is attack strikes. If that's the first pitch, then they're going to attack the first pitch. But it's making sure that, I mean, for them, it's recognizing what pitch is coming. If it's a fastball, if it's a curveball, and where the pitch starts and where it ends up. And what they're doing right now with these first 3 games, the amount of pitches, good pitches, that these Yankees hitters are able to lay off, it's been impressive. It really has.
And Snell was behind. And, you know, I thought that Bieber was just not good, and maybe he wasn't. But Snell was behind everyone. Maybe they're just really, really great right now, at making guys throw strikes, and if they're not strikes, they're not going to go after them. Because he was behind everybody last night.
Well, I think everybody is committed to the approach, Dave. And that's the one thing that Aaron Judge talked about before going into the postseason. He says everybody has to be committed to putting together quality at-bats. It's going to be a cumulative effect. Like, it can't be one or two guys doing their own thing separate from the other seven. Like, that can't be how this thing goes. Collectively, they got to do it. It can't just be one-offs. And I think that's why you're seeing production from everybody in the lineup, because nobody's getting in the batter's box trying to do too much. To Rick's point, it's about putting together a competitive at-bat and swinging at strikes, not chasing outside of the zone. And when you do that, you're going to run up a pitcher's pitch count, and that's just going to continue to put pressure on the guy that's on the mound. Meanwhile, you're just passing the baton to the next man in your lineup.
Yeah, but you know what the nice thing is? The next man you have confidence in, right? If there's some lineups where you look, you're like, oh, God, if I get past it down to six, all of a sudden there's a break. There's no break. Torres is
no, there's no, seven. There's no break, Dave, and we recognize that this is an immensely talented Yankee team, but it's also about being disciplined. Like, it's like, okay, I know I have confidence in the next man, not just because he has talent, but he also has the discipline to go along with it in his approach and how he's going to try to attack this pitcher. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what it has to be.
Yeah, but I think here's the thing, though. I mean, you can sit there and say going into these at-bats, you're going to have a great approach. But the fact that, you know, everyone in this lineup is able to recognize pitches at the, like, to be this locked in, to have everyone this locked in at the same time is, I mean, it's scary. It really
LeMahieu is daunting. I mean, I tell you, as someone that doesn't like the Yankees, every time he comes up, I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. Like, he is great. He really is. I mean, the first at bat of the game, you know, he throw 8 or 9 pitches. Then
nine
he gets
the
base hit. Like, it's just what he does is sensational. He's a great player.
He's a complete baseball player. Like,
yeah.
He is exactly what you would want. And he set the tone again. I mean, this is like game one against Cleveland. I mean,
yep.
He comes up, sets the tone. I mean, in game one in Cleveland, Judge hits the home run. But then you score one run in the first inning, and then now all of a sudden, you feel good. You start to feel good about yourself.
Right. And what was the stat? Snell never allows a run in the first inning, and you jump on him early, and you take a 1-0 lead, and then you give it away, and then you score again. Then you allow the 2-run home run, and then you jump on him again. I actually thought, I don't know if you felt like this, guys. I actually felt, because he was not good last night, I thought they left him in a little bit too long. I don't know that they had an option to take him out, but I don't know. I didn't feel like Snell was all that great last night.
No, he wasn't great, but we talked about it. With no off days, you're going to have to get some length from your starting pitcher.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know how much choice you had. I don't know if you could have pulled him before the sixth inning.
You really have to manage this series differently, like really differently.
Well, he said that the entire time, though. You're going to earn your money now. This is no more, you know, baseball manager as a middle manager. Like, you're going to have to make some serious decisions here.
Right. It's not two games, then you take a day off, and everybody replenishes and refreshes. I mean, this is, you know, scoring those runs in the ninth inning and not having to use Chapman is a huge advantage for the Yankees, tremendous advantage for them right now.
Yeah, and you got to think, with the young fella going on the mound in game two tonight, you're going to have to go to your bullpen.
Yes.
A lot earlier than you probably went to your bullpen last night. Now, that being said, Garcia has, you know, pitched 7 innings strong several times. So we'll see if the moment is, you know, if the moment isn't too big for him, maybe he can give you some length, but you don't go into this game expecting that he's going to give you 6 or 7 innings. You
no.
just can't.
If you got 5 innings of 2 or 3 run ball, you'd take that tonight?
Oh, yeah. 100%, Dave. In a heartbeat.
You're going to need to score runs, and you're going to need your bullpen to come in and produce again. That's what you need if you're the Yankees.
Yeah. I'm going into this game thinking that my bullpen has got to get me 12 outs.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
But let's be honest, though. What we've seen so far from Davey Garcia, I know he's only 21 years old. He seems to be unaffected.
Yeah, he looks great.
By the pressure. This is a different animal. I mean,
this is
game two. But, I mean, if you know going into a series, at some point we're going to need this guy to start a game, I think the Yankees did a great job of putting him in the least stressful of the 5 games.
Well, winning last night was huge.
Yeah, but
right?
Even game two, like, even if you lose, though, game two is not an elimination game.
True, but if you're down 2-0, you're in heaps of trouble.
Yes.
Against a team that feels like they're better than you anyway. Like, winning last night and then putting him on the mound is a tremendous advantage for the Yankees.
But regardless, if they won or lost, game two would be the least amount of stress. Either you go down 2-0, which sucks, but you're not eliminated, or you win the first game and now you have a chance to go up 2-0. The pressure was only going to get more. There was only be more pressure as the series progressed.
I would agree with you, except that Tampa has beaten you 8 of the 10 times you played in the regular season. So if you lost game one with your ace on the mound and you came back in game two, that'd be a hell of a lot of pressure for Davey Garcia to try to set the tone in terms of the Yankees proving that they're a different team in the postseason than the team that the Rays beat up on in the regular season.
Yeah, but regardless, there was going to be pressure. This is the least going into it, it's the postseason. There will be pressure. But as far as the five games, which game would have the least amount of pressure? Game two has the least amount of pressure.
Yeah, but I think if you go down 0-2, Rico, and I'm not saying that an elimination game wouldn't be pressure, but if you go down 0-2, the expectation is that you're probably going to lose that series anyway, especially going up against a team like the Rays.
If you're down 0-2,
yeah. Do you think I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think there's more or less, if Davey Garcia pitches game three and Tanaka loses, you're down 0-2, is there more or less pressure than Davey Garcia pitching in game two?
There's probably, well, here's the thing. It's an elimination game, so you would think there's more pressure. But if your top two pitchers in your rotation lost the first two games of the series, how much pressure is there really on Davey Garcia, a rookie?
A lot of pressure, because if you lose, you go home.
Okay.
An elimination game, by definition, has more pressure than game two.
I understand what you're saying, but I also get where Dave's coming from.
Well, they don't have to deal with that now. They won game one, and there's not a ton of pressure on Garcia tonight. Because even if he's awful and you lose tonight, you're 1-1 and you have a guy that you should have confidence on in going for game three.
Yes.
Yankees are in great shape.
Yeah. We're in a good spot.
They are. And it's not even like Coulter, 117 pitches last night, and you're going to bring him back on short rest. Right? He threw under 100. What did he throw, 97
97.
Last night? Yeah.
97 pitches. Yep.
Yeah, but he's never come back on short rest. So you didn't want to mess around with that.
He's going
to have to mess around with that. So don't mess around with that. Win in three or four. Don't even mess around with that. Cole is good, but I mean, he's never done it before.
Nope. Yeah, I would like to not have to mess around with it, but for some reason, I don't think this Rays team is going to give us that privilege. I don't think it's going to matter.
I mean, you guys keep saying it. Is it the way the Yankees are swinging the bats right now? Is it going to? I mean, I don't care what the Rays
we'll
do.
We'll see. I mean, if the Rays win tonight, this is going to go far.
You've scored 31 runs in three games, man. Ridiculous. The Rays are good.
Yeah, but at some point you kind of feel like the faucet is going to turn off. Like, you're not going to go out there and score 9 or 10 runs every single game.
You're not going to score 9 or 10, but I mean, you could score 5 or 6, which is probably
which would be great. Which would be great, Dave. But all I'm saying is, I think it is going to matter. Like, your starting pitching is going to matter in this series because the Rays are a damn good team. Like, that's going to factor in.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good baseball team.
Yeah.
And they're not scared of you.
You say they're not scared of them. I mean, and you may be right, but I don't think they've seen this Yankees team yet. This is not the Yankees team they saw in the regular season.
I would agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, this is a better version of what the Yankees have been all year because it's a motivated Yankees team.
This is the best version of what the Yankees have been all year. This is the best version.
Yep. Yeah. But from a psychology standpoint, the Rays got to go out there and try to win game two because if they don't win this game, it's a wrap.
If the Rays don't win tonight, this series is
over. You know what they're going to say? You know what? We thought we were a different team. We're really not. We're really not. They got to prove to themselves that they can beat the Yankees when it matters the most.
The fact that the Tampa Bay Rays, I may actually throw up in my mouth as I say this. The fact that the Tampa Bay Rays had the second best record in all of Major League Baseball and their payroll this season is $28 million.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. I said I couldn't believe it.
Is amazing to me.
Yeah, because they're the best run organization in baseball.
The Yankees payroll is 4 times the Rays payroll. Yeah.
I can't say that. What's the guy's name that hit the home run in the first inning? A Ruzzaroni or something?
No, come on.
What? A Ricearoni? What? What'd you say?
Ricearoni. What is it?
What's his name? A Ruzzaroni?
San Francisco Treat? No. What are we talking about here?
What's his name?
Is this Uncle Ben? Are you going to call him Uncle Ben?
A Rosarena, Dave. A Rosarena.
So Santiago's feeding me false information.
He said a Ricearoni.
Yeah, Anthony's telling Santiago that it's like a bad game of telephone. What, Santi, get on the air and admit that you were giving me bad names. A Rosarena.
What?
No.
A Rosarena, Dave. A Rosarena.
They're telling me the wrong name. A Rosarena.
No.
Arena.
A Rosarena.
Thank a Rosarena, there you go.
All right, a Rosarena. Anthony,
like
you're dead
Cash
to me.
And just say what position he plays.
Dead to me. My point is,
he's dead. There's no way that Anthony or Ray Santiago were telling you a Rosarena was his name.
Anthony, Anthony?
Nobody back here was saying a Rice Aroni.
Were you giving me bad information? A Rosarena.
Guys in the clubhouse call him Uncle Ben.
Can't put me in the middle of this.
Oh, we don't put you in the middle. You're the one giving me, oh, it's a Rizzaruna.
You said a Rice Aroni.
Bad names.
And don't let him throw you under the bus.
I got
don't
it
let
now.
Him throw you under the bus.
My point is this, that whatever the hell his name is, this guy was on the Cardinals. They got him from the Cardinals. He makes $500,000 a year and is batting third on arguably the best team in the American League. That's unbelievable.
He's a beast, too.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, but they, listen, what they do is amazing. And, I mean, it goes back to the point where you want Stevie Cohen to spend his money when he takes over the Mets. It's not necessarily always spending money on the payroll. It's scouting. It's player development. It's analytics. I mean, they're one of the best. They got, you're watching that game, they got four outfielders at certain points. That's how deeply entrenched in analytics they are. But, I mean, Cashman's made some of those same moves, too. Some unbelievable ones. I mean, Urshela, Voit, Hicks, when he had Didi. I mean, you name it. They're doing the same thing. They just have...
How they got Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, they can spend the money. It's the only difference. They have the money to spend.
Yeah, which it's a big, which it's a big is, difference, though.
Well, no, it's a huge difference. But, I mean, you play the cards that you're dealt. I'm sure the Rays would like to go spend more money. They just can't afford to do it.
I know, but what they do with what they're allowed to do is pretty remarkable.
So what we want to do, and exactly why you should have hired Heim Bloom, is we want to take exactly what Tampa is doing, but add the pockets of Steve Cohen to it.
That's right. That's right. See, Theo Epstein may leave the Cubs.
Well, he's talking about breaking up the core and everything else. Theo, that'd be a nice little addition.
Oh, a nice little addition.
Now we're talking.
Guy's a curse breaker.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Are you saying
if
we're
he came
then?
To New York, there'd be some problems.
So you're saying we're cursed then? Is that what you're saying? Mets fans are cursed?
It doesn't feel like it's far from it.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting there. We were in the World Series not too long ago. And the wheels just fell right off.
Feels like
a
long time.
All right. Found a way to destroy that team.
A Rosarena. So that's where we are now, huh? Just make fun of me. It's a Rosarena.
That's not
going to
get old
correct.
Anytime soon, Dave. You're going to have to wear that one, partner.
Isn't it a Rosarena?
It's a Rosarena, yeah.
Okay, so
it only
I didn't
took you
know
five
it.
Times to get it.
Okay, well, you know what? I got it now.
Okay, there you go. Congratulations.
I feel comfortable now. I got in big trouble. Rick, you'll appreciate this, by the way. So
with who? With Alex or Sherry?
With Sherry. He's begging me, Dad, it's not fair. Yeah, you got to let me stay up. There's all this going on. I can't go to bed at 9 o'clock. That's just not fair. Fine. Stay up later if you want to stay up. So, goes to bed like 10 o'clock. This morning, I'm like, where's Alex? Fast asleep. Can't get out of bed. I'm like, dude, you're killing me. He's like, I'm 10, okay?
Yeah, that's not your fault, though. That's all on him.
You blame him?
Yeah, well, who else am I going to blame? You did him a solid.
Right.
Now, if he holds up his end of the bargain.
Then it's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue.
So this morning I'm hearing, you know, he's not going to bed that late anymore. What am I can't fight for him now.
Nope, sure can't. That's right? On him, though. He can't blame you for that from now on. He was supposed to pop up and be out of bed ready
exactly.
to go to school.
You'd figure if there's any day you're going to pop up and be out of bed, it'd be on the day after when you've just been, you know, granted a late bedtime.
Yeah, that way you maintain the option to have that privilege every
exactly.
now and again.
Because I know Thursday night, you know, Tampa Bay, Chicago, can I watch the, and I can't let him do it now.
Nope.
Puts me in a very bad position.
No, you did exactly what you were supposed to. You gave him the leash. It's exactly, and some people just aren't capable of burning the candle at both ends.
No, but Dave, here's where you might have, could have helped him out a little bit. You got to explain to him in that moment. Now, listen, if I let
I told him.
You told him.
I said, you got to be up.
You got to get up in the morning for school if I let you do this.
So he's blaming his alarm. My alarm is on mute. I said, well, whose fault is that? Bad.
That's bad.
But I mean, you could have also, let's just finish it with this. I mean, realizing probably, like, I mean, just, I would imagine that there was a little bit of hesitation. If I let you stay up this late, even if I tell you need to be up, he's probably not going to be up. Maybe just to cover your own, you know, CYA, that maybe you take it upon yourself to get
to
in
make sure
early,
he's up.
Yeah, get in early, wake him up.
I probably should have done that. I didn't think he would fail. I thought he'd be on the ball.
See, I chalk this up as good parenting on your part.
Oh, really?
No, listen, you gave him the opportunity. I mean, he asked. He's 10 years old. You gave him the opportunity, and he let you down. That's on him.
He did.
Yeah,
he
but your teammates got to look out for you, too. And I feel like Dad and his brother could have did him a solid.
Oh, his brother would never. Like, his brother would probably turn the alarm off.
His brother would never
do that solid. It's really, that was all on me. That was all on me. 100%. All right, Aaron Boone, big win, 800-919-3776. The last three games, the Yankees have been red hot. He was asked after the game, have the last three games been your best baseball the entirety of the season?
Yeah, there's no question the guys have really played well. You know, they've and a lot of big pitches, a lot of big defensive plays, big at-bats in the critical times of the game. And obviously, with the whole lineup kind of working well together, we've been able to, you know, really break through eventually, like we did tonight, where it was a grind there for, you know, six or seven innings. So I think the guys are really focused, and hopefully we can continue it tomorrow.
There's no reason to think they won't, Rick. I mean, you watch them the first three games of the postseason. Now you go up against Glass now. I mean, he's certainly a good pitcher, but do you think that they won't continue this? I mean, this seems to be what the Yankees are now in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be what they are. I mean, and they had the time off, too. I mean, what they did in the first in those two games against Cleveland, had the time off. I mean, that would be, you know, going into this game, maybe you would expect them to let down a little bit just because they've had that time off, and they haven't. They didn't. Approach was the same. Still great at bats. I mean, he had one inning. Yeah, the second inning was the only inning that you went 1-2-3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to continue to put that much pressure, I don't care how good the pitchers are. I mean, if you continue to lay off pitches out of the strike zone the way they've been doing and make these pitchers work, these guys are good enough for the ball and balls in the strike zone. They're gonna hit. They'll be able to handle.
Yeah, but the key is, like you said, they got to work together, man. And Aaron Boone called it out. He says the lineup working together and putting together really good at-bats. Like, I liken it to pass rushers, right? If you got defensive linemen that are rushing the passer in a four-man rush, somebody is going to get double-teamed, but it's going to open up opportunities for other guys, and you just got to trust those other guys are going to get home. Like, I feel like it's the same way with this lineup. Like, you might not get the pitches to hit, but somebody in the lineup is going to get the pitches to hit. You just got to be disciplined to lay off of pitches that are outside of the strike zone. You get on base, and guess what? Somebody else can do damage. And that's exactly what's happened in all three playoff games. So you just hope that they can keep it rolling. But I know that they're not going to score 9, 10, 12 runs every single game.
I hope not.
Well, look at LeMay. I hope so. I wish they could, but I'm just saying it's inevitable that you're going to have a game where it's going to be, you know what? A 4 or 5 run game, and you're going to have to rely on your starting pitching and your bullpen to lock it down. I mean, last night was a what, 4-3 game going into the ninth inning?
Yeah.
So it was a 1-run game. So, I mean, it was a close game. Like, I would expect that the rest of the games in this series are going to be closely contested. Now, I would like to be pleasantly surprised and have them all be Yankees blowouts, but I know that the Rays are far too good of a team.
The Rays are a good baseball team. I mean, be happy with that win. Be thrilled that you exploded in the ninth inning, but, you know, it's one game. It's one game.
Yeah, but I mean, the Rays are always in these games because they're a well put together team. Fundamentally, they're solid. They can play good defense. They got good starting pitching. They got a good bullpen. They got a good coach. I mean, they got a good manager who does, you know, well with the matchups and everything else. You know, I mean, they always put themselves in a situation where they'll be competitive. Look at the Patriots last night.
It's amazing.
That game should have never been that competitive last year.
Brian Hoyer is awful. How does he still have a job?
It's amazing that he's that. I mean, how could you take that sack?
Which one, Dave? The one where he's the sack and it pushes him out of field goal range, or the one where you get sacked and it's a strip fumble?
Well, the one at the end of the first half where you get sacked and then time runs out.
Timer, like, out.
Yeah. How
How can you do that?
You thought he had a timeout left.
Oh,
well, didn't Sam Darnold do that?
But Sam Darnold was early on in his career. Hoyer's been in the league for, what, a decade plus under Belichick, and you make that
terrible
mistake?
Dave. He's terrible.
Really,
he's awful. Like, even Jared Stidham came in and showed better than Brian Hoyer. If they had a Cam Newton that game, that would have been a different ballgame. The complexion of that game would have been completely different.
Because if the Patriots secondary
could catch a football, the game would have been different.
Oh, yeah, Devin McCourty should have had that pick in the first series. But they shouldn't have blown that one dead when Chase Winovich gets the sack and knocks it out of Mahomes' hands, and then Shalique Calhoun recovers it. How do you blow that
fumble.
Dead?
That's a fumble. He wasn't close to the ground.
It's a fumble or an interception. The ball didn't touch the ground. Either way, it's Patriots ball in plus territory.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. It's a turnover. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Joe in Jersey. Joe, you're first up here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I wanted to bring up, how do you feel about Higashiyosa staying in the Yankee lineup instead of Sanchez?
He's not going
to. Defensively, just feel like it's way better.
I don't think he's going to. I think Sanchez catches tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
So, and thanks for the call, Joe. Is this like an audition now? You think if Sanchez catches well tonight, he goes game three, or you think that they kind of
go back
and forth?
No, they love Sanchez. No, I mean, they're committed to Sanchez.
I get it, but oh my God, he was so good last night.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think for me, he was the unsung hero of last night's game.
Yes.
But they've shown you they love Gary Sanchez. They love having his bat in the lineup. Now, could they bring in Higashioka later in the game for defensive purposes? I mean, that could happen.
Well, I think it would, don't you? Like if the Yankees have a 4-2 lead in the eighth.
I know, but they're only carrying two catchers. Kratz is not on the roster.
Right.
So if God forbid something happens. But you saw it last night too. I mean, they did the same thing. They took Voit out.
Yeah, Rays did it, yep.
Who's clearly gimped up. I mean, Voit's foot. I mean, I give that guy tons of credit, man. I mean, he's battling through something. I don't know if it's plantar fasciitis or whatever it is, but he can barely move.
Well, he can barely run.
He made a great play too, by the way. Sneaky good play when Gleyber Torres, awful throw over.
Mm-hmm.
And terrible throw.
Didn't that toe down?
Yeah. Was that the first inning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible throw.
Gleyber makes me a little bit nervous at shortstop.
I was just going to say that. He does. He gets it done, but he makes you nervous. Like, remember the play at second base where Smoltz, I guess, was saying, like, you know, I don't know that he had that baseball.
No, Smoltz wasn't on the call, Dave. That was Aroni.
Who was on the call? I had a lot of games
in
going
in
on.
A Rice Aroni. In a Rice Aroni.
Who was on the call?
What do you mean? That was Ronnie Darling.
All right, so it was Darling then. I had three games out, going Debo. On at one time.
Yeah, but you three games on it. It was okay.
Three games at one time.
Okay, listen, it's fine. You made a mistake.
Point is, played second base, and Darling, who apparently was on the call, was like, I don't know that he had that baseball. I agree with you. Torres makes me nervous at shortstop.
Yeah, he makes me nervous. I feel good about DJ at second. I obviously love Urshela at third. I mean, Voit is what he is at first base, but he makes the play he makes the plays that are to him, but he's not special.
And he also, if I said to you there's one guy that's gonna have a hiccup in the field, in the infield, it would be Torres.
Yeah, he has a little Gary Sanchez in him. A little bit. Where you can just take a play for granted for a second. Like that was an easy play. For him to make that throw, he actually took a second, collected himself, and still made a bad throw. But that's nitpicking. I mean, they won 9-3.
They did.
Scored 31 runs in three games.
It's a lot of runs. Not going to lose a lot of baseball like that.
Against Shane, don't call me Justin Bieber, Cookie Carrasco, and now Blake Snell and Tampa.
Yeah, Cy Young Award winners in multiple seasons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Snell was a Cy Young Award winner. Bieber's going to win it this year, and this is who you've done damage against. You know, I thought Bieber wasn't good. Maybe the Yankees are just that good.
Mm. These teams had this Cleveland was one. And Tampa was 2 with ERA. And you're beating the hell out of them.
Yep. How about the Astros, huh?
Oh, I can't wait. This is setting up perfectly. Perfectly. I can't stand the Astros.
So okay. Let me just see if I understand this now. Yankees, Astros, you're rooting for the Yankees.
I think I have to. I can't stand it. I used to like the Astros. Now I can't stand them.
You're not the person I thought you were, by the way.
Don't take your medicine, man. Like, you got caught. You cheated. Like, take your medicine. Don't be mad at us. Like, I feel like they're yelling at, like, they're mad at me because that they cheated.
They are. They're going to, they know that they're busting. They're going to take it out on everybody to deflect from themselves.
What are you going to say now? Well, I'm going to say that you didn't finish 500 and you beat up on the Twins. Relax.
If they beat the A's, though.
Well, I mean, if their best players play the way that they played yesterday, they still have really good players. I mean, their bullpen was lights out. McCullers wasn't very good, but Correa, Bregman, I mean, were nasty yesterday. Their lineup is still legit.
Very much so.
I hate the Astros, though.
But you want them, don't you?
I wish all the bad things in baseball happened to them and nobody else.
But like, you're rooting for them in this series,
nothing,
aren't you?
Nothing would make me feel better, Dave, than to be able to put them out of the playoffs on our way to the World Series. I would love that.
I'm sure.
I would love it. And then just say, what are you going to say now?
Right. Not only to beat them, but just to destroy them.
Well, not only that, Dave, but to just cast doubt in their mind. You know what? You had to cheat in 2017. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had a chance to win the championship you got. You had to cheat last year. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to get past us. Like, if they got caught cheating, and then all of a sudden we square off in the ALCS again, and this time the Yankees get the better of them. I mean, listen, man. A lot of Yankees fans, including me, will feel like the only difference in us not competing for a championship in 2017 was them cheating.
But if they turn around all of a sudden in 2020 beat you without cheating?
No, why would you speak? Why would you speak that? Why would you speak that? Why would you say that? You're not really my friend. Because if you were, you wouldn't say that.
Oh, my, would that be unbelievable.
You're a bad guy, man. You're a bad guy.
Hey.
Maybe it's just, I guess that's what Mets fans do. Just want to be bad guys.
I respect the fact that you said it, by the way.
I know you do. Dave, since you, I mean, you look gorgeous, by the way. I can just tell. Just the sound of your voice, I can tell. Like this.
Yeah,
I really
actually do.
I know, I can tell.
Yeah.
But as my radio wife slash, you know, fellow Mets fan,
mm-hmm.
tell me if you're on the same wavelength as me. As much as we hate the Astros, would you be upset at all if Alex Cora ended up being the Mets manager?
No.
No, me either.
Why would I be?
I'm glad we're on the same page.
No. Why would I be upset?
I would not be upset.
No. I'd be thrilled.
I would be thrilled as well. Because it sounds like the Tigers. You saw what the Detroit Tigers said, both Hinch and Cora in the mix.
Well, why would you not?
They've exactly.
Their punishment. They're going to be able to come back. They're terrific baseball minds. Absolutely, I'd go
if
with them.
If someone else is going to hire them, we might as well. I mean, why not
right.
be us?
And how long do you think that's going to last? A month? 3 months? Maybe a year? And then
if
it'll be
they're
gone.
Winning, who cares?
Exactly.
There are cheaters.
That's right.
Exactly.
At least they're on our side now. They're cheating
I mean, how
for
much
good.
How much do people in New England love Bill Belichick?
Habitual line
cheats.
Stepper.
He's
habitual line stepper.
Always cheats.
Some reason with the Patriots, though. Everything always has a happy ending.
If you ain't, wow.
Very well done.
Wow.
Very,
here you
very,
go, Dave.
Very, very well done. All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the always optimistic and uplifting Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I am bringing the three of you down to South Beach today for a little NBA Finals trivia. You ready?
Okay.
Of course, Dwayne Wade is the Miami Heat's all-time leading scorer. Can you tell me what college he went to?
Marquette.
Marquette.
Yes. Now, while Dwayne Wade is Miami Heat's all-time leading scorer, can you tell me who ranks number two for the franchise?
Hmm. It's not going to be LeBron. I didn't play there long enough.
Oh, let's see. Most points, second most points. You got D Wade.
Do
you have an idea?
I mean, Alonzo Mourning?
It's got to be Zoe, doesn't it? I mean,
Alonzo
it's going to be Mourning, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, and yes.
Nice.
Zoe, number two.
Yeah, he was down there forever.
Speaking of Zoe, he ranks number two on the Heat's all-time rebound list. Can you tell me what Florida Gator ranks number one?
Udonis Haslem, because he's been there forever.
He has been there forever.
Nice. And finally, what Syracuse alum was the first ever draft pick of the team in 1988?
Cycley.
Ronnie Cycley's correct. 4 for 4, boys. Let's be careful out there and stay healthy.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. We will do our best to be as careful as humanly possible. Listen, it's good advice.
Oh, it's great advice.
Dave, great isn't advice. Udonis Haslem still technically on
yes.
the Miami Heat?
Yeah.
He's still on the team?
And I think he's 40. Yes. He's been there.
He gave he gave an impassioned speech
crazy.
During game.
That was a great speech.
Yeah.
That was a great speech.
Veteran
good
leadership, man. Can't put a
all
price
right.
tag on it.
Quick
just
break.
Make him a
Come
coach
back.
By now. Just make him a coach.
Yeah, well, he pretty much is. Busy 10 o'clock hour. The great Mike Tenenbaum is going to join us in a moment. And then CMT at 10:30. And maybe Rick will tell us that story about how he was a bad parent over the weekend.
Not a bad parent. Disappointing.
What?
Disappointing parent.
Well, I think a disappointing parent would be a bad parent, no?
No. Stop.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I was
would
not
you try
bad
to put
parent.
A Jets hat on the kid?
No, I felt bad, though. He was wearing it. Both kids were wearing their... They're Sam Darnold jerseys.
Oh, God.
I know.
What?
I let them choose. It's their own fault. I said you can pick which team
you
want.
Yeah, but you should kind of sway them.
No, yes. I should not sway them.
I agree with Dave on that one.
Is what, this
to
really
who?
The life
choice you
want to
make? Set them up for a lifetime of misery. Don't do that.
To who? Yeah, the Buffalo Bills? Sway them towards the Buffalo Bill. What team? The Giants?
Yes.
They stink worse.
No, I don't know about that. Let's bring them in. Let's let Mike Tenenbaum tell us. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
All right, guys. Good stuff. I'm good just listening.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to get your take on a lot of things NFL-wide. So Giants this weekend. I mean, you hear a lot of, well, they were competitive. It's another loss. And here's my concern, and that's the offense and specifically Daniel Jones. I guess I'll come out and ask it. Should we be worried about Daniel Jones? Is there just not enough talent that we can't know? Or are there signs that maybe there is a problem?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. At some point, he's going to have to grow out of these turnovers. And, you know, to have five interceptions, again, that was a problem at Duke. I scouted him there. There was things I liked. I could see why Dave Gettleman liked him. He had a great week at the Senior Bowl, as Dave has talked about. But he has consistently, you know, turned the ball over. And at some point, I can tell you, like, knowing Joe Judge's background, like, that's not going to be acceptable. We saw an infomercial about that last night, guys. You could see how long Bill Belichick stomached Brian Hoyer turning the ball over. So I just don't it'll be interesting to see how long of a leash there is, because Joe Judge is not beholden to Daniel Jones. So those things have to be cleaned up right away. I think it's a fair point. When you look at the skill players, they're not frontline by any stretch. But at some point, if you're going to be the starting quarterback, make those around you better.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, did you have any issue with the Jets allowing Sam Darnold back in that game?
No, I mean, that's really what you want. To me, Rick, is you want guys that are tough and competitive. And I've dealt with a lot of players that have had that AC joint sprain. And look, we're speculating because we haven't seen the report, the official diagnosis or the MRIs. But typically what happens is you can get through games like that because of the adrenaline and you're in the flow of the game. And typically you'll wake up the next day very sore. Obviously, when it's your franchise quarterback, it's his throwing shoulder. You want to have an abundance of caution. So in some ways, I actually like it because you can see how much it meant to him.
Mr. T, on Sunday, Andrew Thomas gave up five pressures and two sacks. I mean, he was supposed to be one of those guys that would help stabilize the Giants' offensive line. That unit has looked anything but through the first quarter of the season. PFF had him graded as the 66th tackle out of 72 gradable tackles this season. Why is he struggling more than the three other tackles that were taken after him?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. I liked him as well. I think it just takes some time. He, look, at Georgia, he's seeing good competition, so that shouldn't be a problem for him. I think part of it is he's a little light, so he has to grow into his body again. He reminds me a little bit of DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who we had at the Jets, similar body build. And, look, Daniel Jones put another one on the carpet. They were fortunate. You know, they recovered that. He still had the interception, and we talked about it on Sunday morning, which was that line of, I thought going into the game because of Aaron Donald and some of the other pressure that Brandon Staley, the new defensive coordinator of the Rams, starting to bring, was going to give the Giants, you know, problems. But I did think Thomas would play better, and I expect him, he will play better as his lower body develops.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. The Houston Texans. I mean, we talk about disappointing teams this season. Certainly we have that here in New York football, but and the Texans are a disaster. They don't even have their first pick. They don't have the second pick. They're 0-4. They fire Bill O'Brien. What's the future of this franchise right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I agree. And they spent more money than any team in the NFL. And usually, as you say, Dave, like you talk about, well, we have a top pick and that's our future. You know, for me, you want to have a process and get the right person. But I know where I would start and maybe end, and that's Jim Caldwell. You know, Jim Caldwell is a guy that had a winning record in Indianapolis. He had a good record in Detroit. He's done a great job with quarterbacks, and you need someone that's going to maximize the ability of Deshaun Watson and stabilize that franchise. If Jim Caldwell was interested, that'd be a guy I would talk to. And the thing about that is you could talk to him right now. You know, he's out, and he's a guy that's really intriguing to me. You don't need the next hot play caller. You need somebody that could be the CEO of your program. This is a billion-dollar enterprise, and he'd be a guy I would take a long look at.
I'd be more than happy to let them interview Adam Gase if they're interested. Mike Tannenbaum joins us on the show. Mike, I know it's unfortunate. No one wants to see anyone lose their, you know, their job because of an injury, especially somewhere, you know, the team doctor ends up puncturing your lung. But I mean, after watching Justin Herbert, is there any way that he's not their starting quarterback moving forward?
So I had the really good fortune of working with Anthony Lynn, who's a special, special guy. And I think he's going to be a really good coach for a long time. And we work together. He's a Parcells disciple. I think this is really one of those, Rick, where it's an audience of one. Like, you have to sit down with Tyrod Taylor and say, hey, look, I don't want to take your job based on the mistake our doctors made. but I also have a responsibility to the 52 other of your teammates, which is we may have someone really, really special here. And I want to do this, but I want to make sure that I'm going to get buy-in from you. And this may be one of those times, too, Rick, where you very quietly maybe extend him a year or two, give him some more security, because he's a good veteran, he's a good teammate, and maybe you could kill two birds with one stone and say, hey, Herbert won, Taylor's two, but it's a good question. I don't know how you could go back.
Mr. T, I want to go back to the Houston Texans situations. They don't have a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick in 2021. They've got some salary cap constraints. How attractive is this Texans job going to be this offseason?
Well, I think it depends on how it's defined, because you know you could see it as an opportunity if the owner, Cal McNair, is going to be patient, because you may have one of the, whatever, however you rank him, six or seven best quarterbacks on the planet, who's a great kid. He's a leader. He's somebody that you could build a franchise around. So, you know,
and he's under contract for the next 5 years.
That's exactly right. So we could either focus on what you don't have or what you do have. And anytime there's a job opening, it's for a reason. Like, none of these openings are perfect. You know, the opportunities I've got in my career, I always said, hey, you know what, I'm just going to try to make it better, make progress. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I was able to surround myself with good people, and that happened. But it's one of those things where you have to say, this is what I have, this is what I have to clean up, and Deshaun Watson would be a great reason to take that job.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. All right, of all the disappointing teams, and there's a lot, I don't know if there's anybody that's been more disappointing for expectations than Dallas. I mean, did you foresee this at all, that the defense could be this bad? They can't stop anybody, Mike.
Well, I think it goes back to a year ago, Dave. Let's go back to how did we get here? There's a little bit of a cause and effect here, which is they signed Zeke Elliott 3 years before they had to. He had multiple years on his contract. They could have franchised him, and they still haven't paid their quarterback, who is their best player. And what happens is, when you pay a position you don't have to or early, it takes away your depth. They lost two good linebackers, and Sean Lee, who gets hurt every 10 minutes, and Leighton Vander Esch, who was hurt in college, and he's hurt again. They have no depth at the linebacker position, and they're playing with Aldon Smith, who is a great story, but he's been out of football for a while, and they lost Byron Jones. I would have kept Byron Jones. That was a great signing by Miami, and I would have not paid Zeke Elliott. And those, not having depth at the linebacker position, not paying Jones and paying Zeke Elliott, are all coming back to hurt.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us in the show. So, I mean, the Browns hung 49 on that awful Dallas defense. I mean, have you seen enough from Kevin Stefanski and this Browns team to buy into them yet?
I like Kevin. You know who I like even more is Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan is their offensive line coach. I work with Bill. Bill's former head coach of the Raiders, University of Nebraska. They're averaging 5 yards a carry, 5.8, number one in the NFL. And it reminds me of those really good Jet teams that I was on with Rex, where Rex always talked about ground and pound. And he used to say to Brian Schottenheimer, our offensive coordinator, goes, hey, Shotty, I'm going to tell the other team we're running the ball, and I still want to be able to run it. And I really think that's the mindset that you look at Cleveland right now. Baker's been very, very average, guys, and they're still being productive because they have a great running game, a really good offensive line, and a brilliant offensive line coach.
Mr. T, you can make an argument that Aaron Rodgers is playing the quarterback position better than anyone else in the National Football League. 13 touchdowns to zero interceptions. He's actually got half his touchdown passing total that he had last year in the first four games of this year. What's the biggest difference in this version of Aaron Rodgers that we're seeing in comparison to what we saw last year? Everybody's attributing it to, you know, being motivated by Jordan Love's presence, but what are you seeing from Aaron Rodgers when you watch the film?
Yeah, I think, like, last night's a great example, guys. Like, this is where, like, I think Daniel Jones could play a million times better. Just play the quarterback position. Use the hard count to take the free shots. When they're playing off coverage and you need a first down, just get it out to a receiver outside the numbers. Like, they're taking the easy things that playing the quarterback position is so underrated, because when you have the defense on their heels, like, when they know that you have a hard count, that's going to slow down the pass rush even when they're not offsides. He's playing with great accuracy. And what him and Russell Wilson, I think, do better than anybody is their movement in the pocket and behind the line of scrimmage is to throw daggers down the field. And when you do that, that really hurts a defense. And you saw Atlanta got out of sorts last night. And I think a lot of it has to do with things, again, like hard count and also his movement. And I think where they deserve credit is when you, like, one of the things I like to study is the prototypes that teams play with. Green Bay has big receivers. Now, they're not all household names, the Lazard, Valdez-Scantling, for example, but they're bigger guys, and clearly that's what they're looking for. And Rodgers, to me, is just playing with, you know, confidence, coolness, and I think him and Russell Wilson are the two best quarterbacks in the league right now.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So last week you said, and Rick didn't believe it, we had to go back to the audio, you said Tennessee, second-best team in the AFC. Having watched Buffalo, seeing what Cleveland looks like, knowing what Baltimore is and continues to be unless they're against the elite of the elite, do you stand by that heading into this huge matchup with Tennessee and Buffalo?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be proven wrong on Josh Allen, because when you go back to Wyoming, he did not throw the ball accurately. And I've always been raised that that is something very difficult to improve. But his accuracy has gotten dramatically better. Part of that, I think, is because of Stephon Diggs. But you got to go by what your eyes tell you. And he's playing, you know, really, really good football right now. And you look at John Brown and Cole Beasley, like, they really complement one another. But I think Tennessee is also built in a similar way where, you know, Tannehill is playing very well. You got some skill players, and neither team, and this is the old Coach Belichick thing, which is let the other team screw it up. They'll make some mistakes, and Tennessee and Buffalo, I think, are both really well coached. They don't make mistakes. It should be a great game.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, I mean, this is watching that game last night. If it wasn't for, Hoyer and Stidham, if Cam Newton's playing that game, it may be a different outcome. But, I mean, will you – I know their defense is good, but with everyone that opted out and everything else, were you surprised that the Patriots' D was able to look as good as it looked against that Chiefs team?
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but, you know, they're very disciplined, and they played a couple different coverages. You know, they doubled Tyreek Hill some of the time. They played zone where they kept things in front of him, Rick. And I think that what's really frustrating for Belichick is, like, he, when the game was over, the score obviously wasn't even representative of how close of a game it was. He had the answers to win that game. If they just kicked field goals on those two Hoyer, the mistake before half is just inexplicable. Like, You have to know you don't have a timeout. And then the fumble, you have to have a clock in your head. Like, if they kick field goals there, we may be talking about a great upset last night. So, again, I think they'll be there to the end. If Cam Newton can come back sooner than later, then I think they're still better than Buffalo. But it's going to be a fun sort of, like, race to watch. Like, right now, Buffalo has a two-game lead, which is truly remarkable.
Mr. T, are you buying into what you've seen from the Cleveland Browns the last 3 weeks, or is it fugazi?
Probably somewhere in the middle. The fact that they're winning and they're not relying on that height-deficient, speed-deficient quarterback gives me hope. The other thing I don't understand is, like, if we're playing the Browns, the four of us, like, rule number one is Myles Garrett is not going to beat us. That is not going to happen. We're going to double and triple that guy every time. The fact that Dallas used, you know, backup players one-on-one made no sense to me. So they're going to be another interesting story. I think this is great, guys. We're going to be talking about Cleveland and Buffalo. I think that's great for our sport, and, you know, it's a great change of scenery.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. The Eagles, they've looked awful. They win that game. I don't know whether they played well or Mullins was just that bad. Is there real trouble in Philadelphia?
Well, look, I just know from a GM perspective, injuries are hard, but when you lose four really good players, they've lost Andre Dillard, their first-round pick a year ago. They've lost Jason Peters, Isaac Salamalu, and Brandon Brooks. That's really, really hard to replace. So, you know, both those teams were beat up Sunday night. And give Doug Peterson credit. You know, everyone's criticizing him for the tie against Cincinnati, but, you know, they're in first place. And I know it's an ugly first place, but, you know, the other three teams, Washington, New York, and Dallas, rather be the Eagles right now. So they may have, you know, they have a puncher's chance because they got a quarterback.
All right, Mike, potentially my last question, unless you say something so brilliant that I need to have a follow-up. We got, you know, Sam Darnold in year three. We have Daniel Jones in year two. I want to stick with young quarterbacks for a second. So it was announced, or Brian Flores has said that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick will start this upcoming week. At what point do you think we end up seeing Tua?
Yeah, the way I would answer that question is my concern about Joe Burrow, which is Joe Burrow is showing really good flashes, and I know they have to play. You got to take the bubble wrap off, but I don't think Joe Burrow makes it through 16 games behind that offensive line. So I think Miami's being smart. Again, it's not a decision about 2020, Rick. It's about what he looks like in 2025 and 2030. Mm-hmm. And I would just be very patient because they may have someone in there and they want to put him in a position to be successful. And again, if we think about a normal year, guys, we just finished week one. Like, we just got through the preseason. We're going into week one. And I think that bears repeating because these rookies had no offseason program. So why rush a guy that may and hopefully be your franchise quarterback for a long time?
Mike, I'm going to tee this last question up to you because this could have been Rick's head coach for the New York Jets. But looking at the first quarter of the season, the Carolina Panthers are a pleasant surprise, 2-2. They've got a top 10 defense, the 12th ranked offense. What do you attribute to the turnaround that Matt Rhule is making in Carolina?
Yeah, I've always been a Teddy Bridgewater fan. We saw him make plays with his feet against the Cardinals. They're really, really young on defense. You know, they had a draft that was only defensive players. I think they're, again, well-coached, tough, and they're going to, you know, if you saw against Arizona, they took away their explosiveness. And when you do that, you make the other team go the long, hard way. At some point, they're going to make a mistake. So the fact that they're doing this without their best player in Christian McCaffrey is really impressive. And, again, if we go back to the Houston situation for a second, Chris, like, let's look at Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was on the Giants staff, and then he does a great job at Temple, does a great job at Baylor. So I'm not surprised that he's doing so well.
Am I right to be picking up on this? Are you energized today? It feels like you have a little extra pep today.
Thanks. I do, and that's because of X2 Performance, Dave. It's an all-natural, healthy drink. You can go to x2performance.com. Clean ingredients, all-natural, and I take it every day, and it helps me have really good endurance, so I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mike, listen, great. We went all around the NFL multiple times, got a lot covered. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend, and stay healthy and stay safe.
All right, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. You too.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Mike Tannenbaum. Now, Rick, you look at the AFC. Would you like to
loaded.
Retract?
Loaded.
Retract?
The loaded AFC.
Loaded.
Uh-huh.
Loaded AFC.
Uh-huh.
Loaded.
You can't even say tongue-in-cheek anymore.
Wait, you said the AFC was loaded like months before the season. You had no idea. You had zero idea.
You had no idea, Dave. You didn't know.
That was before the Patriots signed Cam Newton. It was so...
I'm not even including the Patriots in the loaded. Buffalo is loaded. Buffalo is terrific. That
Buffalo's a good team.
Daunting offense.
Buffalo is a good team. They're
that's
a team.
That's a really good football team.
It would surprise me if Buffalo didn't win a playoff game this year.
They better.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, I feel like that's the expectation now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Indianapolis is good. Cleveland looks good.
We really Tennessee didn't know what to good. Expect from Pittsburgh, though, right?
Pittsburgh is good. It's loaded. Loaded.
It's now loaded.
Thank you.
Previously, it had two teams in it, maybe three.
So,
I gave you credit for
three
when you said it.
Like Nostradamus, I saw
nothing.
I knew this.
You saw nothing.
I knew it.
You had no idea what Cleveland was going to be. I was the one that liked the Steelers.
Pittsburgh is really good.
I told you Pittsburgh was going to be good. I liked Pittsburgh. You had no idea what Pittsburgh would be.
I didn't trust Ben Roethlisberger coming back healthy.
That defense is good,
wrong.
Though.
I was wrong. He looks good. The team looks good. I didn't trust that.
Defense is nasty.
You see what they asked Mike Tomlin? Like, you're going to have to, you lose your bye, you're just going to have to play right through. He's like, I don't
care. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. I love that attitude.
It was great.
Love it.
I will say this, though. I mean, when Cam comes back healthy, knock on wood, he comes back healthy, that Patriots team is going to be a problem.
I want no parts of it. And I'm pretty sure Andy Reid feels the same way. Because I know the score said 26-10, but that game was a lot closer than that. And their quarterbacks accounted for 4 turnovers. Think about that. The opposing team's quarterback turned the ball over 4 times. You got Pat Mahomes in this all-world offense, and you only beat him by 16 points.
And that was not a 16-point game.
And you
no,
should have 3 turnovers.
A 3-point game at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And you probably should have 3. I mean, in Mahomes probably should have 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they dropped a lot of picks. I mean, that's a fumble, or that's a turnover. That angers me, that play.
You know, by
but
the
you
way,
know what?
Too,
they're on to something, though. The Patriots are on to something. Starting that game with 6 DBs, like, they're on to something from a personnel standpoint, being able to match up with those receivers and daring Kansas City to run the ball. Like, I think that's the philosophy that you got to have.
Doesn't surprise me. This is what he did, 30 years ago against the Bills, right?
Well, yeah, it's exactly what he did. It's exactly what he did, Dave. I mean, he went nickel and dime the entire game.
And he said, you want to pick up 5, 6, 7 yards on short passes or on runs? Okay.
But well, what that does, Dave, is that takes the best player that you have out of the game to some degree. The best player is Pat Mahomes. He's the best player in the NFL.
Yes.
And if I force you to hand the ball off because of the coverages that I'm playing, the personnel packages, then that's me taking the ball out of his hands and putting it in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Good luck beating me that way. I'm not saying the kid's not good, but I'd rather take my chances doing that than with Tyreek Hill and that 4x1 relay team that they got as wide receivers.
And, oh, by the way, the Patriots ran for 185 without Cam Newton.
Yes.
And two, okay, I mean, you bring up the, you can call it a strip sack, a fumble, an interception, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not exaggerating. That really.
I don't know what it was, but it was a turnover. I don't know exactly how you classify.
Awful call. But the other,
awful. That's a game-changing call.
Okay, yeah, but later in the game, too. I mean, that pass interference on Travis Kelce, sketchy. That going out of bounds, the flop by Mahomes, calling a penalty there, too, was a joke.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad call. That was a bad call.
Terrible call.
Yeah.
I mean, they traveled day of game and were you know, right there the entirety of the game with the team we consider the best team in football. Without their quarterback.
Well, right there. I mean, you're talking about six points because of those stupid, I mean, Hoyer having a brain fart. And then on top of it, you had the ball go right through Edelman's hand for a pick six. Right through his hands for a pick six.
Yep.
Well, Dave needed that, Rico. Dave had to get on the board this week.
Joke. Oh, my God.
Ooh. Joke.
Terrible picks, huh?
Joke. Wait,
I have the standings in front of you. Want the standings?
I don't want the standings.
Rick, you're winning right now. You're winning with a 5-6-1 record.
Dave, do we really have to do this?
Do we really have to do this? And then I'm 4-8, which is dreadful. And I've lost five of my last six. And then I don't know what to say, Chris. Three and nine.
It's bad, Dave.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And you, and
you know
RJ?
What? This is as bad as it was a few years ago when I had that epic collapse in the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, this is approaching that territory.
Maybe you're like the Yankees, though. Maybe you're getting it out of your system early, and then playoff time, you'll be red hot.
Okay. Well.
Can we just all agree that the best part isn't Canty being 3-9, it's the fact that him and RJ are
0-4 together. 0-4 together. Remember, RJ was so, if you give me three games, I will pick the winning game of those three and we will dominate. 0-4.
He hasn't lost on the K show yet. He's 4-0 on the K show.
But I don't like that he gives different picks all over the place either.
Well, no, because he has a couple of games he likes. He usually goes into it with like two or three games that he likes.
So he's 4-0 on the K show. Yeah, and he's two and two with us. He took Houston.
Yeah, he went charges with the K show. Well, he went charges with the K show, which I thought he would take with us too. But he took what, Texans with us?
Houston -4.5, and they
lost. Brutal
pick.
Brutal.
I just feel like somebody should take advantage of what I'm doing, because if I'm 0-4 for the last 2 weeks, if somebody goes on the opposite side of that, they'll be in the money.
Very wealthy.
Yeah.
Very wealthy. Today on ESPN Daily, as the NBA Finals head to a dramatic finish, Malika Andrews reports from the bubble on how strange it feels to be at the end. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. CMT at Rothenberg ESPN to get you involved. Questions are already flooding on Twitter. And without any further ado, Rick, how about it?
All right, here we go, boys. Little Tuesday edition of CMT. We're going to start with a Week 4 most important win. Most important Week 4 win. I'm going to give you the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to give you the Cleveland Browns dismantling of the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going to give you the Philadelphia Eagles. Most important Week 4 win.
All right. I'll start out here. Okay. I'm going to marry the... It's a tough one. Tough one. I'm going to marry the Philadelphia Eagles.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because I felt this thing falling apart. They were on the verge of falling to 0-3-1. I still think that Dallas is the cream of that division somehow. There's a lot of heat on Carson Wentz. So I think it was a huge victory. Granted, Mullins was awful, but still, Wentz was good when he had to be, and the Eagles get the win. So I'll marry Philly. I'm going to cuddle Cleveland.
Bombs and hellacious.
I think that's a stamp of, you know what, we're here, and we're real, and we're a decent football team. And they ran the ball, like we discussed, nonstop. They go to 3-1, and they're a good football team right now. And only because I don't believe in Minnesota. So it's a win that you can argue saves the season, but saves what? Are they a playoff team? It's hard to envision that for me. I still don't trust Kirk Cousins. So I know that Chris will disagree, and that's fine, and I understand why, but I'm going to trash the Minnesota Vikings here.
Yeah, we're going to disagree on that one. I was with you in marrying the Eagles because I thought that was a big win for them, but for the Vikings, I got to cuddle that one just because they were on life support for their season, getting away from them, and this is a team that came in with the expectations to not only win their division but to compete for a championship. So Mike Zimmer and that team were real, and I thought that was huge for them to get that big win. We'll see if they can use that as a pivot point for their season. And I'm trashing the Browns win just because the Dallas Cowboys are awful. They should be 0-4, and wake me up when the Browns actually beat a team that's worth a damn. Because I'm not impressed with wins over the Bengals, over the Washington football team, or the Cowboys at this point. This game they got coming up against the Colts will tell me more than I've learned about them in the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, that was aggressive. That just seemed like you were trying to be mean to Ray Santiago there with that Cowboys comment.
They are trash. The Cowboys are trash. He knows
that's hurtful. That's hurtful, and he's dead inside because of it.
I got to tell you, as bad as it is for me, I take such joy in that.
All right, here we go. I know there's no such thing as moral victories, but let's pretend for a second that there is. Okay. Most positive you took from a loss. Positive you took from a loss. I'm going to give you the Chargers lost to the Buccaneers, the Patriots lost to Kansas City, or the Giants lost to the Rams.
You're up, Chris.
Okay, I'm going to start with this one. I am going to marry the Chargers loss to the Tampa Bay Bucs because it looks like the Chargers have found their franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. The kid threw 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception and went toe-to-toe with arguably the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. So, yeah, I'd say that the Chargers got their guy, so I'll marry that one. I will cuddle the Pats loss to the Chiefs last night because no Cam Newton, Brian Hoyer, and Jared Stidham combined for 4 turnovers and a handful of bonehead plays, and yet you still found a way to make that a fourth-quarter game when Kansas City's offense is just dismantling people. So the fact that you were able to do that, I think you can take some positives away, especially from the defensive side of the ball. And I'm going to trash the Giants getting a moral victory. The Giants need a win. They got to get a win at some point. And quite frankly, I'm tired of saying, well, let's take positives about it and be optimistic. No, how about you not have your quarterback turn the ball over in the red zone on the final possession of the game when you got a chance to be able to tie it up? That's what I want to see. Daniel Jones has got to get his team on the other side of it. So I'm trashing it until the Giants actually get a win out there.
Bravo to you, Rick. Really, really, I mean, bravo. Because you're trying to incite me. You're trying to annoy me. You're trying to anger me. And it worked beautifully. Take solace in a loss. They're 12-40 in their last 52 games. So they the Giants went out to L.A. and they only lost by 8. They kept it close through 3 quarters. Stop it. It's disgraceful. I could not agree more. I am trashing the Giants. Don't even include them in this. Ever again until they start winning a football game. Now, here's where Chris and I are going to disagree. I'm going to cuddle the Chargers. They led 24-7. God knows what they're doing at the end of the first half. Instead of just taking a knee, they're running the football. They fumble. It changed the entire complexion of that game. I do like the fact that Herbert looks terrific. But, I mean, if you're New England, that's who I'm marrying. Because you saw that they kind of figured out a way to slow down Pat Mahomes. It's really the first time we've seen anything like that. So I will marry New England.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
All right, here we go. So, yeah, the head coach of the Houston Texans, head coach slash GM of the Houston Texans, get fired. This is Canty's favorite topic. Who's next? I'm going to give you Matt Patricia. I'm going to give you Dan Quinn or Adam Gase.
All right. Two can play at this game. I'm going to marry Dan Quinn.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because, I mean, how much longer? Calvin really didn't even have a catch last night. They're getting hammered. Guys, tight ends you never heard of until 10 days ago or catch 3 touchdowns. Dan Quinn cannot be long for Atlanta. And then I'm going to go with Matt Patricia. Because that thing feels like it's on the verge of falling apart. Remember, he took over a team that was 9-7, and they now can't win games to save themselves. They led 14-0, and that was gone at the snap of a finger on Sunday. And I'm going to trash Adam Gase. Because the owner came out a couple weeks ago and said he really likes him. And he looks at him as an offensive genius, if I'm not mistaken. He's not going anywhere, Rick. So put your seatbelt on and enjoy the remainder of the season with the Jets and Adam Gase.
This should be who should be the next to be fired, not who you think will be next to get fired.
Offensive genius.
Yeah, I think Dan Quinn is the next one on the chopping block, so I'm going to marry him as the next to be fired.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I am going to cuddle Adam Gase as
Bombs
next to be fired.
Fallacious seeds.
Just because I don't think the Jets are capable of pulling out of this nosedive, and if they weren't able to beat the Denver Broncos on a short week starting their third-string quarterback with all their injuries, I don't know who they're going to beat anytime soon. So I'll cuddle that one. And with Matt Patricia, I mean, he's probably going to get fired at some point this year, but I still feel like there's some fight in that dog. Like the Detroit Lions are going out there and they're competitive. So I just think that does buy him a little more time than the other two guys. So I will trash that.
Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
Do we fully comprehend? I know what happened on Thursday, but do we fully comprehend how embarrassing that loss was?
Oh, I comprehend, yes.
Brett Rippon had thrown 9 career passes. They found out on Monday on a short week.
37.
And they got carved up for 37 points.
37, yeah.
37 points. Mm-hmm. All right, last one for me before we want to introduce some of the listeners' questions. Better team right now, the Seattle Seahawks, Buffalo Bills, or the Green Bay Packers?
Run that by me one more time.
Best team right now, Seattle, Buffalo, or the Green Bay Packers?
All right, Rico, I'm going to marry the Packers. And here's why. I just, you know, when you're looking at the offenses of Seattle and Green Bay, I think they're right there because you've probably got the two best quarterbacks, or at least the guys that are playing the quarterback position the best, those two, out of anybody in the National Football League. But I think the difference is on the defensive side of the ball. And Green Bay, to me, has more playmakers. They have the ability to get after the quarterback with Za'Darius Smith. Right now, they're 12th in total defense. Seattle is atrocious on that side of the ball. So I'm going to go with them as being the best team.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I am going to marry the Seahawks just because I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Josh Allen. And I'm going to trash the Buffalo Bills, although I think they're a damn good team.
I'm
going
to
go straight across the board with Chris. I'm going to marry Green Bay because their defense has played pretty well. They get to the quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is just, you know, he's found the fountain of youth. He looks unbelievable. Cuddle Seattle, and I will trash Buffalo.
Exactly, because the NFC is loaded and the AFC is not. I mean, you just completely fell into that trap.
No, I fell into no trap.
You fell right into it.
You even admitted earlier that the AFC is loaded. You said it. We had that on tape. I made sure to get that.
Of course you did.
All right, here we go. You ready? Real quick, couple for you guys. Next, Mark Gregory tweets in, next best young coach, Matt LaFleur, Matt Rhule, Cliff Kingsbury. Rick, go.
I'm going to marry LaFleur. I'm going to cuddle Rhule, and I'm going to trash Kingsbury.
Wow. Okay. I am going to marry LaFleur as well. I am going to cuddle Kingsbury, and I'm going to trash Matt Rhule.
Okay. Moving ahead, Joey Bag of Donuts says, best quarterback, Rodgers, Brady, Wilson. Chris, you're
I'm going to marry Wilson, cuddle Rodgers, trash Brady. Yeah, right now? We're saying right now, right?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, agree across the board.
That's correct. All right, and lastly, Kevin Liddy. CMT young unproven quarterbacks. Darnold, Jones, Herbert.
I'm going to marry Herbert. I am going to I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to cuddle Jones, and I'm going to trash Darnold. Has more to do with the organization than it does the actual player.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, once Sam is freed from being a hostage.
Free? From quarterback Guantanamo?
from being held hostage. I guess at the moment you'd have to say you would marry Herbert.
Have to.
I would cuddle Darnold and I would trash Jones.
That's your heart. You did that with your heart.
Well, no, it's my heart, but Jones is turning the ball. He just turns the ball over too much for me.
He looks awful. I'm not going to.
Like Cassie I'm telling you this, it kind of freaks me out a little bit though. Like of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, and maybe just because we focus in on the Jets and the Giants, when Jones throws a pass, because I mean he throws a pretty ball, she gets like all fired up. She's like, look at that throw, it was perfect. I'm like, will you simmer down a little bit?
Do you know how many throws he made over 20 yards this past week? Just even attempts at over 20?
Zero.
I'm gonna say one.
One,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one. That one is Slayton, right?
All. So she didn't get all that excited this week when he was throwing the deep ball.
Well, no, not even.
You got to have time to. You got to have time to throw a deep ball.
He's going to get killed. they were trying to avoid a homicide. Is what they were trying to do.
Yeah. No, the offensive line is not look great. All right, there you have it. Another successful edition. We'll do it again on Thursday. Another successful edition of CMT. T. All right. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN and 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.